Good morning. Good to be here this morning, and we are so thrilled to be with you this morning here. We are so thankful to be here because we've missed y'all. You've always been in our prayers, and Robert was reminding me that it's been quite a few years since we've been here, and we have new families here, and we're thankful for that, even though I hear they're hoping to go to Alaska, so I'm sure you're going to be greatly missed. I've only known you for a few minutes, and I already feel attached to you. So thankful to be here, thankful for a lot of things. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. And so here we are, brand new year, and already, brother, already, my friends, we are in the middle of this month, basically, already. January just got here and it's halfway over. And so, as a new year begins, I'm reminded of the fact that we are 1 year closer to either the day of our death or the day that the Lord returns. And it is one of those deals where we want to make sure that when we stand before the Lord in judgment, He's either going to say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Or He's going to say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Brethren, those verses frighten me. And they should frighten all of us. When Brother Michael led us in prayer a while ago, he mentioned for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that is so true. So since we're 1 year closer to that day when our final destiny will be forever determined, let me use this opportunity to provoke our thinking as to how we have used this past year. So I want you to think back, brethren, my friends, to 2018. It'll never come back. It'll never be here again. But I want us to think back to that day, to that year. It's not a day, it's a whole year. 365 days, if I'm correct. And I want us to ask ourselves a series of questions and to see how we can improve, because we do realize that there's always room to improve in the kingdom of God. So in this past year, has our relationship with God and His Son improved? And you can only answer that for yourself. I can only answer that question for myself. Have we drawn nearer to God, like James chapter 4 and 8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." That's exactly what James says in chapter 4 and verse 8. Did we do that in the past year? Did we draw nearer to God, or did we go further away from Him? You see, God never departs from us. It's us that makes that distance from God. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this lesson is because I brought it just recently at Pecan Valley. And I thought it would be good for us. I don't know the spiritual condition of each and every one of you. We haven't been here in a few years. And we don't really know what's going on here at Northside. We don't want to know. All we want is to be able to ask ourselves these questions and analyze ourselves and say, what did I do in 2018 for the Lord? Did I draw nearer to God? Because we sing about it. We sing about these things. We sing about drawing nearer to God. But are we doing it? Bearing in mind that a close relationship depends upon good communication. And you might think, oh, I pray a lot. I communicate a lot with God. That might be true, but that's not the kind of communication I'm only talking about. You see, God communicates with us through His written word. And I'm going to sound like a broken record because I say this every time I'm at the pulpit. If you don't fall in love with God's written word, if you don't fall in love with it, you're never going to obey it. And people don't think about it that way when I tell them that. They say, wow, I meditate with the Bible, but I never thought of loving it. This is God's word. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, I'm going to give you a chance to get there. I want all of us to read this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active. There's another version that says powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And if we don't fall in love with those words, and you might be thinking, well, what does he mean by fall in love? You know, when you fall in love with that significant other, what do you want to do? You just want to be with that person. You want everything for them. You want to impress them. But that's what we want to do with Almighty God. We want to impress Him. We want to please Him in every way that we possibly can. It's just like a son wanting to please his parents. The son wants to please the father in everything. Remember what Jesus said? All the words that I'm giving you, they're not from me. They're from my Father, He said. They come from my Father. He was giving God all the credit, all the glory. So, in this past year, have we been faithful in listening to God through His Word? Or do we just listen and it goes out this way and it's done? When I was a child, my parents used to say, especially my mother, we'd be on our way home from services, and she would say, what was the sermon about, mijo? I better have known something about the sermon. If not, I was going to be in trouble. And people say, well, she shouldn't do that. Yes, she should. We want to be able to pay attention, and we want our children to pay attention to what's going on. You see, because when it comes to the Word of God, it's so powerful that I don't need to entertain you with a guitar, with drums, and with keyboards, and all this flashy stuff. Just the Word of God itself should be powerful enough to just keep you glued. You might say, well, the speaker, I'm just, oh, you know, he just, you're paying too much attention to the speaker then. Don't pay attention to him. Don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth, as long as they're coming from the oracles of God and not my own opinion. So, has our relationship with God and His Son Jesus improved any? If not, and especially if we never have, can we honestly say that we're taking our relationship with God seriously? How serious am I about being a Christian? I've had Christians tell me, well, you know, Jesse, now that you mentioned that, I feel like I'm coming to church just out of routine. And I'm not really paying attention. And I'm not really talking to people, trying to bring them to God's kingdom. So I don't think I'm pleasing God. That was that one Christian analyzing themselves. I didn't do anything. That's the word of God when it penetrates us and say, okay, I need to analyze this. I need to understand. We need to open our eyes and say, okay, the years are fleeting. I hear a song or something, I'm like, wow, that song came out in the year 2000. 19 years ago. It's like, just when the brother told me, well, no, it's been almost 5 years since you've been here. What? That long? Yeah, that long. The years are fleeting. They're going fast, fast. And we get into these habits. We start getting complacent. We're not on guard anymore, spiritually speaking. The world overtakes us sometimes. We're busy with work. We're busy with the kids. We're busy with our careers. And then God gets the leftovers. Well, I'm coming to church. I'm there every Sunday. But what am I doing for the Lord? That's the least we can do. I tell people all the time. Has our relationship with the brethren improved? I didn't mention prayer in my last segment. I'm sure that we are prayerful people. I'm positive. But are my prayers sincere, I ask myself? Am I just going through the motions, or do I really feel that I'm truly communicating with God? Am I taking this relationship with God serious? These are the kinds of things that we need to ask ourselves, because like I tell people all the time, especially new Christians, this is a lifestyle. This is not something that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. Oh, here come the brethren, so I got to watch how I talk because I'm going to be around the brethren. If that's the case, Jesse, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Like I tell people all the time, I tell the congregation where I preach all the time, I can look good with this suit. I can sound good. I can fool you. You might think, wow, he's just such a faithful man. And I can be living like the world out there, because you don't live with me. You don't hang around with me. You don't really know me. I can be putting up a front right now, and you'd never know it. But guess who knows it? The one who really matters. The one who really counts. The Lord God of heaven that knows everything. He's the one that I'm worried about. He's the one that deserves all the glory, all the honor, everything that I can possibly give him in my life. And so, yes, this is about examining self. And sometimes it's not very pleasant, because we're not perfect beings. We're not. I sometimes, on my own, cry when I'm praying, because I'm such a fallible man. And I want to be right with God all the time. Yes, I don't curse. And our demeanor has to be like Jesus. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's not easy to do, because we have emotions. There's anger. There's depression. There's stress. And yet we're supposed to be happy Christians all the time. So there's a balance there. People need to see Christ in us. The sister back there in class mentioned we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Let's not forget who we're representing. We're representing the Son of God. At all times, everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And so, what about our relationship with one another? See, we don't know this because I'm not from here. This is something that we need to ask ourselves. Has our love for one another increased this past year? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 9, let's read that. First Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, he says. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still the more. Notice that. Another version says, we urge you to increase more and more. Because if I have the attitude, hey, look, I love my brothers and sisters. I do, but that's all they're going to get from me. They don't deserve anything else from me. Whenever I hear the word deserve, you know what I think? Because we're all guilty of that. We all use that word. Oh, they don't deserve that. And I'm not talking about their brethren. It could be something else. Oh, no, what about me? Jesse doesn't deserve to be saved by the Son of God. Maybe he thinks he does. But truly, none of us deserve what the Son of God did for us. We're undeserving. God loved us before we loved him in sending his only begotten Son. And because of that, we read in the Bible, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to godliness, that pertain to life. So we're not left in the dark at all when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to how we should know how to live our lives. We're not left in the dark at all. We're talking about our relationship with one another. Are we closer to one another than we were a year ago? Do we even know our brethren? What about the new brethren that have come? Ask yourself, do I know everybody's names? They've been worshiping with us for a while. Do I know everybody's name? And if the answer is no, like, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I need to get closer, closer. We had fellowship yesterday. It was beautiful. And I thank those of you who took the time to do that. This is what it's all about. And I heard some of y'all say, hey, we haven't done this in a while. We need to do it more often. Yes. Yes, it's true. We need to do it more often. And that's one of the things that I keep repeating myself at Pecan Valley. I think every congregation has the same problems. Same problems. I don't know how many people are here this morning, but it's going to be like half this evening. That's the problem that every congregation has. It's the reality of it. And we can preach about it until we turn blue in the face. If we're not looking forward to coming to this place where we know that nobody's going to come in and bother us, not the law, not anybody. We come here peacefully. If we're not looking forward to coming here every single time that we know we're scheduled here, because we're going to see the same people That's what he's talking about. Loving one another to the point where, man, I can't wait to get back there because I only get to see my brethren on these days. We know that the Christians back then were hanging around every day. Every day. And maybe some of y'all do. Maybe some are closer than others. We're talking about being together, not only in worship, being together, knowing one another. Like I asked the brethren, they've only been to my house once, but we just recently got there. So I want them to come more often. I want them to know where I live. I want them to know everything about me, about us, especially my problems. See, that's another way we show each other that we love each other, is by sharing each other's problems. Oh, no, I'm a very private person, this Christian one told me. They once told me, I'm a very private person. I said, then you're not a good Christian. We're not supposed to be private people with each other. He said, wow, the preacher's having problems? The preacher? Yes. So what if I'm a preacher? I have the same problems you do. And I need help just like you do. We need each other. Do I hold a special place in the congregation because I'm the preacher? No. And if you put me on that pedestal, you're sinning. If you put Danny on that pedestal, you're sinning. We're all equal. We're all the same. I need you just as much as you need me, I tell my brethren. Loving one another. Are we going to increase? Do we want to increase? Do we want to increase? I got a good one for you. How about our relationship with those in the world? As people of God, we have an important responsibility towards those that are in the world. Again, remember when Jesus in Matthew 5 said, "You are the salt of the earth." This is Matthew 5, 13 through 16. We know these verses. But what does Jesus mean by that? You are the salt of the earth. Well, to me, it means to be a positive influence. A positive influence. And then he says, you are the light of the world. What does that mean, people say? To me, it means to demonstrate a better way of living. To demonstrate a better way. A better way. I have a relative that's my age. We grew up together. I love him to death. He lives in Corpus. He's an alcoholic. And he's really, really struggling with his life. Don't we have those? Either friends or relatives or people that we know that are struggling like that. And I feel so bad, especially when he tells me, I wish I was like you. That's what he tells me. I'm like, what's so special about me that you want to be like me? You need to be yourself. You need to get away from what you're doing. You know what you need to do, but you're not doing it. But you're wishing you could be like somebody else. You see, brethren, when it comes to the world, and I consider him as being part of the world, our response, our approach, like we said in the class, has to be right. Has to be. Could you imagine if I gave him the attitude of, I'm holier than thou? No. Instead, I told him, I'm no better than you. If I'm not following God the way we're supposed to be following God, not the way I think I should follow God, and you should follow me as I follow God, just like Paul said, imitate me. That's what I told him. Oh, I wish I could be like you. You can. You can imitate me because you see me imitating Christ. We don't know how the world is going to respond. That's not up to us. All we can do is deliver this precious message of the gospel. This is a self-examination this morning, brethren. That's all it is. What did we do this past year? And these questions that I'm raising can be summarized in this way. Another year has gone by. Have we made good use of the time the Lord has given us, or have we wasted it? I'm going to confess. I know some of y'all don't know me personally. I am a professional guitar player. I've been playing guitar since I was 9 years old. I get hired by some of the best musicians, even some of the artists that you might even know. And you won't know this unless I tell you. What I'm trying to say is that I feel so bad about knowing how to play this instrument so well. Why? Because it took me away from meditating in the Word of God. And so guess what? Once we start taking these things serious and thinking, wait a minute, it's literally been years now that, yeah, I'll grab the guitar once in a while, just kind of, but that's just for fun. That thing is it's got all kinds of, she's my witness, it's got all kinds of dust on it. Why? Because it's vanity. It's vanity. It means nothing. It's not going to help me get to heaven. It's not going to help me for nothing. As a matter of fact, it used to help me play in places that I shouldn't have even been in. But you're young, you think you know it all. And so there you go, making your mistakes. We all do it. We all do it. And we all have our own little stories to tell. Until we snap out of it and say, okay, I need to fall in love with the Word of God, truly. And when we do, we start giving up all these things. It means nothing. I don't know how many people have told me, oh man, we haven't heard from you in years. What's going on? Are you playing anymore? No, I don't play anymore. What? You're. See, they don't get it. They don't get it. No, I'm a preacher now. Oh, well, that's good. Is it? Instead of, wow, that's the best decision you could have made. No. That's good. That's good. Is that it? So, I want to apply the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Philippians chapter 3. That's a beautiful sound that I hear when I hear those pages going from page to page in the Bible. Thank you for keeping along. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the prize I want. That's the prize that we're going for. This is the goal. This is it. I don't want a Grammy. I don't want a Tony Award, which I'll never get those things anyway. I don't want any of that. Why? Because it's vanity. It's all vanity. It's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. So, in conclusion, for the year ahead, this year, 2019, let's resolve to draw nearer to God and Christ. We read Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living. It's powerful. Let us draw near. Let's read the Old Testament. Let's understand the old law. Because in Romans 15, chapter 15 and verse 4, it says that these things were written for our learning. It also says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Let's be diligent in prayer. Perhaps maybe Daniel's custom in Daniel chapter 6, where we read about him praying three times facing toward Jerusalem. He would get on his knees and he would pray three times. That would be worthy of emulation. By having a different person in our family, in our homes, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, we're talking about becoming closer to the brethren, making it a point to learn everyone's name, no matter what it takes. Having people over the house, 1 Peter 4, 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another. Doesn't have to be a fancy dinner. Just a simple visit to become better acquainted, to know one another. Truly, we worship together, sometimes with people for such a long time, and I don't even know where they live. That's pretty sad. It is. Let's resolve to get to know non-Christians better. We talked about our gay friends. Do we have gay friends? You might say, no, I don't want to be friends with gay people. We need to. We need to befriend them. We need to be good to them so they can say, wow, this is a good Christian person. I'm going to let them talk to me. I'm going to give them some time to talk to me. Because if we don't, they're never going to make the time for us. The opportunity will never come. Because we're not allowing it to come. Our attitude is getting in the way. Our hatred is getting in the way. In class, we talked about hating the sin, not the sinner. Why? Because I'm a sinner too. I might not be a homosexual, but I sin in other ways. I'm no better in the eyes of God. And so, yeah, maybe having our neighbor over the house. One last verse that I want to read, brethren. Galatians chapter 6. If we can go there really quick. Galatians chapter 6. It says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let us do good. It says, not to some, to all people, especially those in here of our fold. So, you know, these resolutions that I'm suggesting for the new year may sound simplistic, but if we implement them, they go a long way, brethren. My friends, they go a long way to producing the kind of lifestyle that is becoming of a Christian. Because that's what I tell people. You going to be a Christian? This is a lifestyle. It's not something that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. This is a lifestyle. It's a total change of life. Some of the things that I used to like to do, I don't do them anymore. I don't do them anymore. It's been years. You get used to it. You get used to living the Christian life. The Word of God guides us. These are the things God wants you to do. These are the things God does not want you to do. It's all there for us. How am I going to know what God wants from me? How am I going to know what the will of God is if I don't meditate in His Word? So, to increase closer relationship with God, our brethren, and the lost will be blessed in our lives and be a blessing to the church and our community and create a clearer conscience in 2019. So, I leave you with this thought. Time is a precious commodity. And we know that time is fleeting. And it's given to us by God. James chapter 4 talks about time being, our lives being like a vapor. And it truly is. It truly is like a vapor. But this time that God has given us needs to be carefully redeemed. Carefully. What are we doing with our time? I can think of a lot of things that I did with that was just wasteful when I could have been doing something else for the kingdom. We don't want to have those kind of regrets. Because if we do, we need to repent. We need to repent and ask for forgiveness and keep moving forward. Like Paul said, I keep going forward toward the goal of that prize, that crown, that precious crown. So I hope that these suggestions for resolutions in the new year will help us in making better use of our time. The lesson is yours this morning, brethren. Well, thank you so much for your attention and your time. Thank you for the invitation. And we're just so excited to be here this morning. We're just so thankful to be here. Thankful to Danny that gives us this opportunity to take his spot. We're thankful that this congregation has a stand-in preacher, a full-time preacher. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have that. I hope that we get to see each other sooner. I love that idea of swapping preachers I love that. I'm going to bring it up as soon as I get back. If we can help you in any way this morning, I don't know. I look at the audience this morning and I don't know if each and every one of you is a baptized member of the Lord's church. But if you are not, time is fleeting. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. And we see the example of people getting baptized for the remission of their sins and the Lord adding them to the church. That's what we see in the book of Acts. And that's what we want to imitate. We want to imitate everything that the church was doing at the time. And we don't want to add or take away from that. Or maybe in the audience there's a member of the Lord's church that maybe you've been wasting time. Maybe you haven't been doing the things that are according to the Word of God for a Christian. Maybe we haven't been living Christian lives. Maybe getting a little complacent. If you need to repent, now is the time to do it. Let's make things right. I once heard a preacher say, boy, one of the hardest things to do for a Christian is to admit that he's wrong. And that shouldn't be hard for us to do. It shouldn't be hard for me to say, you know what? I need to repent. I need to repent. And I need the prayers of the congregation. There's no shame in that. This is what it means to love one another and to be there for each other. If we can help you in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.